Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Spiritual possession is a subject that makes Christians uncomfortable because the idea is invasive, involuntary, and sounds like something from a horror movie. However, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit lines up with the Bible and God's purpose for the New Testament church. It is a far-reaching promise about the third person of the Godhead. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique tools given to Christians for personal help, to serve others, to strengthen the church, and to convey God's power despite Satan's efforts to oppose his agenda. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And the message I'm going to have today is going to be extremely important because the Holy Spirit is a vital person and He wants to work in our lives, but most of us don't let Him work in our lives. And so today we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray first. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we have a webcast today, that so far it is working. And I thank you, Lord, that we will have no problem with this webcast. It will go to complete finish. And I ask you right now for anointing upon myself and anointing upon everyone watching and listening, so that, Father God, we can learn and walk and live with the Holy Spirit. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let me begin by laying a foundation. And that is, I want to talk about you as a person. As we live here on this earth, we are used to our physical body, and we more or less equate our physical body with us. And that's a mistake we make, because our physical body is not you, it is not me. It is a vehicle. I call it a car, an automobile, because we are spirit beings. We have a soul, and if you're born again, you have a spirit. And inside our vehicles is the real you. You have a complete spirit body. Head, arms, chest, legs, feet, brain, mouth, eyes, ears. If you want to know how your soul body looks like, look in the mirror and you see your physical body, and your physical body is a replica of your soul body. We do know this, and you have been to enough funerals to know this, that when a person, when the body dies, I don't say the person dies, but the body does. And you've been to enough funerals that you know this, that they don't remove the brain, your physical brain, and preserve that. Your physical brain, when your body dies, goes in the grave. If you existed in your physical brain, then you would cease to exist at the time of death. The physical brain is a very fine computer made of protein. Man cannot make computers of protein. It's a fantastic computer. And when God made the physical brain, its purpose is to run the physical body. It is wonderful when you eat that you don't have to think, okay, now how much acid do I put in my stomach? I start this muscle and so on. You put your food in the mouth, you swallow it, and it's automatic. Your temperature. There is a thermostat to the body, and the physical brain controls the temperature. It controls the heart rate, the blood pressure. Every function of the physical body is controlled by the physical brain. But there's a problem. The soul brain, the real me, sometimes hurt my physical body. We get upset, angry, excited about something, fear, and the soul brain will now create negative energy, electricity that hits the soul brain and it takes it out of balance. So your blood pressure goes up, your heartbeat goes up, or go down, whatever it is. So I'm going to be preaching more on this, but I want you to understand now that you are a spirit being in a physical body. So we look right now here in our outline, spiritual possession. Spiritual possession is not a topic that Christians like to talk about because such spiritual matters generally make people uncomfortable to acknowledge such matters. A demon-possessed person is someone whose soul and body have been invaded by evil spirits. Only an unsaved person can be possessed, and they are mastered by a superior force in our mind and body. So what is demon possession? All of us know that from time to time, your credit card is hacked. It's a pain in the neck, because now you've got to change a lot of different accounts as you get the new number. So somebody can use the internet and they get into your account and they start making withdrawals for themselves that is not beneficial to you. They have simply got into your account. Evil spirits invade the soul brain of an unsaved person and simply take control of the soul brain. That means that you now have been hacked. And the demons now that are in your soul brain and in your soul body and also in your physical body are now putting you in a back seat. You're in a back seat and you have no control over the car. And now the demons are driving your car. A few weeks ago, there was a horrific accident outside Yellowstone Park. And it was a tour bus with about 10 people or more that got hit by a pickup truck. And the driver of the pickup truck died. And I think that all the people in the van or the tour bus died. Yesterday, the toxicology report came out And he simply said this, that the driver of the pickup truck was drunk, impaired. And in his drunken condition, he had just veered over head-on collision. Did he want that? I don't think so. But when you get impaired by alcohol, which takes down the physical brain, your physical body is not working, you don't see that well, you can't steer a car, and all of them died. Now, the driver of the pickup truck got out of his body. The 10 people got out of the van they were in with the tour bus. And they stood there on the road in their soul bodies, looked at each other. And, of course, they had knowledge, not through the spirit world, that this driver had been drunk and he murdered them. Within seconds, holy angels showed up, and those that were saved were taken to heaven, and those that were not saved were taken to hell. And then a little bit later came the ambulances, the fire department, to pick up the bodies. So demon possession is when they take over your soul brain. Let's look now in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And this is a story that Jesus told us here. Actually, Mark told us. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had this dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Demons have supernatural power. A demon-possessed person is like a Superman. They have powers that is not normal, and they can do things. Verse number 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not." The spokesman for the demons here simply said, "Hey, Jesus, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. Our time has not come yet to be tormented." Because Jesus had not yet died on the cross and risen from the dead. So they were still loose, and they could not be put in prison. Today you cast a demon out, and you put him in prison. For he said unto him, Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A Roman legion at that time had 7,000 men. This man had 7,000 evil spirits living in him. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There was about 2,000 pigs and were choked in the sea. So why did Demas do that? They had a swine to commit suicide. Because the moment the pigs died, the demons left the pigs and they were free to go and find some other people to possess. That is demon possession. Now we have 7 examples here, and I'm not going to read all of them. We have the Canaanite woman's daughter in Mark 7, 24 to 30. And this girl was demon possessed, and Jesus just spoke. He didn't even go see the girl. He spoke and she was healed. There was a boy with an unclean spirit. We had Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. The mute man possessed by a demon. The blind and mute demoniac. And we have the slave girl in Philippi. Let's look at the last one. Let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 16. That's Acts chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. We brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same fell upon us and cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when the master saw that the hope of our gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. So this girl, when the demon was cast out, she couldn't do any more predictions. So, if you look in the middle of the first page there, demon oppression is a term used for Christians controlled by demonic forces. Let me say this. There's very little difference between demon possession and demon oppression. When a Christian get demonized, and basically this can be coming from because of damage in the childhood. It can be a bad birth. It can be divorced by parents. It can be all kind of different things. And it simply creates trauma. A person gets an arrested development spirit. And then later on, they introduce to drugs, alcohol, sex, fornication, and so on, and they're spiraling down. A person that is demonized is like a bus. You have a whole bunch of passengers, and everyone wants to drive, but they put you in a back seat. So let's talk now about the Holy Spirit, because this is what we really want to focus on today. The author accepts of Holy Spirit possession, although it is more commonly described as being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And then, let's pick it up here in verse number, I'm going to pick it up here in verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they had the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they walked in righteousness. And because of that, they were selected to become the parents of John the Baptist. If you go now to Luke 1, verse number 15, we read this. And this is about John the Baptist. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So God selected this couple that walked in righteousness. They gave birth to baby boy that was named John. And from the beginning, from his mother's womb, the Holy Spirit filled him. He was, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this attack upon me right now. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I command that spirit to go. Command it to be taken to prison in Jesus' name. Amen. So John now was baptized in the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives. Demonic spirits want to move in our lives. So we have to make sure that we don't invite bad spirits, but you want to have the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2 right now. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus had told them that you stay in Jerusalem, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you. These were 120 people, 11 apostles, 70 elders, and 39 women. And they knew absolutely nothing. Let me drop this on you now. You cannot get educated on the Holy Spirit. You can educate it to know what it does. But when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he will take control. But he is not a dictator. He will seem to come into your soul, brain, and say, are you tired of driving by yourself? And if you say, yeah, I'm kind of tired, I'm driving by myself, I would like to have some relief. He says, why don't you scoot over and I'll take the wheel? And I will drive. The Holy Spirit is not a dictator. He will not force you. But if you agree, he will take over. And when he does that, the demons do things for harm. The Holy Spirit says, I have your best interest in my mind. I want you to have the best possible life. I want you to prosper. I want you to be happy. I want you to have a good life. I want to teach you if you let me. That's how the Spirit, Holy Spirit wanted to come in. The 120 people on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke Hebrew with a Galilean dialect. And when the Holy Spirit came down, they were powerfully filled. And then the Holy Spirit said to them, get out. They were scared because there'd be persecution. They lost all fear. They walked on the streets. They simply divided up. The whole Jerusalem was covered by them, 120 of them. And they would speak languages that they have not learned. Their language was Hebrew, but they spoke other languages. And they were not just gibberish. The Holy Spirit preached. And it says that the Jews in town heard the gospel in their own language from birth. And 3,000 men got saved that day. What did the Holy Spirit do with them afterwards? Well, when they were done, he said, okay, you can go home now. But I'm with you. And you're going to have miracles and things happening to you. You, as a Christian, if you're baptized in the Spirit, have the power to cast out demons. You have the power to pray for the sick. You have power to raise the dead. You can open blind minds, blind eyes. All the gifts that are in the Bible is yours. But the problem is, we've been told that the Holy Spirit is not here anymore because he left with John the Apostles. Because we got the Bible now, so we don't need the Holy Spirit. The Bible cannot help you when you get sick. You can try to eat the Bible, but it's not going to do anything for you. You can try to lay on the Bible and sleep, but that's not going to heal you. The healing is in the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Point number four, preacher, people, he preached boldly. And I'm not going to read that this morning. You can have that, read that yourself. And we had the different thing that happened to the early believers. And then we had Stephen, who had a tremendous, he was so full with the Holy Spirit that he stood before the Sanhedrin and they could not withstand it. So they only had one option left, murder him. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. At the book of Acts chapter number 9. And we pick it up in verse 17 and 18. And we read this. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias, just another Christian, Jewish man, accepted Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, laid hands on Saul, and immediately it fell from his eyes as it bent scales. He received sight forward and arose and was baptized. So the power is yours. It's the same thing if you go into a house, or you have a house, and it's dark. You have the power to flip the light switch, and there should be light if the electricity is on. And it's very easy to turn on the light, isn't it? You don't have to exercise your fingers, you know. Okay, now I'm going to turn the light switch on. You flip it with your finger. That's how easy it is to have the Holy Spirit come to you. You simply say, yes, Holy Spirit, I want daily miracles in my life. On the bottom here, we read this. A Christian is sealed by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. That is not the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. That's Ephesians chapter 1. And we pick it up in verse number 13. In whom we also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Chapter 4 in Ephesians, verse number 30. We read this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? At the time that this Bible was written, New Testament, there were businessmen, there were contracts, there were all kind of commerce. They didn't have any books in those days. They had parchments. And if you made a deal with a businessman, you would simply, each businessman had a ring on his finger. And it was kind of a wide one, and it had initials or some kind of a mark that was unique to that person. This was a credit card. So when a business was done between two men, they would have a parchment. They would lay the parchment on a table. They would take wax. They would sign it. And then they would take wax and put hot wax on. And then each one would take his ring and seal it and put it down there and the other one this way. And that document now was legal. It was sealed. In the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus told the angels, don't go out and hurt the trees and the green grass until you have sealed, put a mark in the forehead of the believers. So, you cannot see it, I cannot see it, but we have a mark right up here. It's a seal. It tells the demons, that's a saved person. He is born again. They see people that don't have it, they say, well, that means maybe we can do what we want with him. He's not saved. So a lot of people, churches, simply says, well, when you get saved, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit automatically. That's not true. What you've done is, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Possession by the Holy Spirit is positive, voluntary, because it lines up with God's purpose. It is never controlling in a harmful way compared to demon possession. Truth of the matter is that humans can be possessed by spirits, of which there are two types, holy and unholy. Understand this now. You are either possessed by the Holy Spirit, or you are possessed by unholy spirits. Simple. None of us are without spiritual control. Notice here now this morning, I don't have a cold. I have not been sick. And when I got up here, I got some critters that decided that last week they killed our website. And today they simply said, I'm not going to preach. Well, I took it for a while. I even put a mouth drop in my mouth. Didn't help. So I realized I'm going to have to take care of these suckers. And so right here on the spot, I simply told them where to go. And they had no chance. There was a man just coming in here, picked them up. And right now these critters are sitting in a prison, flame on them, and they're screaming in pain. And I'm very happy. If they're stupid enough to come close to me, that's where they go. So remember this now. You are either controlled by the Holy Spirit, or you're controlled by demonic spirits. When you lose your temper, the Holy Spirit backs off, and the Holy Spirit come in. And they said, turn off your intelligence. Let's get in a sandbox. Let's slug it out. Let's give that idiot, he needs for that, go get him. So we are constantly warring in the spirit world. On page 2 on the top, we said this. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit is the same person. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. And you can grieve him by not obeying or saying, I don't believe you. The kingdom of Satan is filled with fallen angels, chief among them Lucifer, with devils, demons, and unclean spirits in the lower ranks. Devils, demons, and unclean spirits, same thing. Fallen angels do not possess people because they have spiritual bodies. They have an angelic body and they have a spirit. Demons do not have a spirit body. So let's look upon this chart here. And this is something that I'd like to study later on yourself. So let's look upon demon possession. Source, evil spirits, demons, or unclean spirits. On God's side, the Holy Spirit, the third person of Godhead. What kind of nature do we have here? Demons are invasive, controlling, tormenting. The Holy Spirit is empowering, he's guiding, he's transforming. Consent, typically involuntarily, usually comes about through sin. You remember the years that you lived in sin? You didn't have to plan, okay, today I'm going to sin this and this and that. It came to you without you doing anything. The Holy Spirit voluntarily through faith and surrender. Effects on a person. Demons cause physical harm, mental distress, isolation, loss of control. The Holy Spirit brings peace, joy, boldness, and wisdom, spiritual gifts. Speech often causes muteness, screaming, or blasphemy. That's what a demon does. Holy Spirit results in prophecy, preaching, speaking in tongues. Behavior. Demons are self-destructive, violent, antisocial. The Holy Spirit is loving, self-controlled, courageous, compassionate. Purpose. The demons want destruction, deception, opposition to God. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify Christ, build up the church, transform lives. The end result for demon, misery, bondage, and death. A lot of people are homeless. Some are because of mental illness, but even that mental illness is caused by demons. Demons have no compassion. Once you end up on the street, they simply laugh at you, said you're an idiot, and they enjoy your misery. The Holy Spirit gives freedom and transformation. What kind of deliverance fulfillment? Demons cannot be dealt with. You cannot control them. They had to be cast out by Jesus or a believer in Christ. And deliverance in the Holy Spirit comes through faith in Christ and prayer. What about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does it do? After the resurrection, but prior to the day of Pentecost, Jesus referred to the baptism that was far different than water baptism introduced by John the Baptist. It was a baptism that involved the third person of the Godhead. The disciples were clueless as to what it entailed, but they were about to find out. If you read here from the outline, it's from the book of Acts, chapter 2, you have it on the outline here. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But that was a promise now to all Christians. On the day of Pentecost, a Jewish holiday, which marked the 50th day after the Passover, the apostles, the 70 elders, and 39 women were assembled in the upper room in Jerusalem. The squabbling about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God was gone, as it finally reached the point of total agreement, and then the Holy Spirit arrived in power. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Unless you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's difficult to understand what takes place when the Holy Spirit surges through your body, soul, and spirit, taking complete control of you. The Holy Spirit efforted to control the part of the brain that controls speech. A foreign language was downloaded, and each person began to speak in a language which they were not familiar with. And I discussed that, how they went out on the streets and talked to all these people. And we read here from the book of Acts, and we have that here on the outline. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, are not all these bespeak Galileans? And how hear we every man his own tongue, wherein we were born? Persians, Medes, Elamites, dwelt on Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, What does this mean? So I want to take it down and just give you how to live it on a daily basis. When you wake up in the morning, you have the opportunity to talk to Father God, to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is simply saying, good morning to you. He said, I am here. I am better than AI. AI is nothing compared to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, I know everything. Ask me any question. Do you want me to guide you today? And most people says, oh, I don't have time, you know. I got to rush. I got to get breakfast. I got to put this together. I got to do this. I got to go, 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 go. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, see you later. So we rush into problems. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit can tell you, actually guide you, when you drive to work, if there is an accident or something that's going to happen, the Holy Spirit can tell you, today, you're not going to take the regular route you usually do, but you're going to go this way. Don't ask him why. Just do it. And you might avoid an accident. When you get to the job, and when you're going to start the job, ask him, how do we line this up? Ask him that before you leave home. He would lay out for you and say, well, you do this first, and then this and that, and so on. Call this person, write this, and so on. The Holy Spirit is fantastic. He's what you call it, a master director. It's like, you know, you have a, try to have a manager. And he will give you everything that you need. I have walked with him since about 1969. And the Holy Spirit has been fantastic in my life. He told us not to take that airline. That airline crashed. He told me to do this and don't do that. And I have been moving in the Holy Spirit. He wants to do that for you. Now, we got an experience here, and I will tell you this rather than reading it, because I remember it very well. And this was a full gospel businessman, and they were a fantastic group of people that don't exist anymore. A few of them exist here and there. But there was a convention up in Spokane, Washington. And I've been to these conventions. There's about 5,000-10,000 businessmen, their wives, get together. And there's music, there's teaching, preaching, praying. And so this Jewish guy, he was a Jewish businessman, decided to go to this meeting. Somebody invited him. But he was Jewish. So he decided this Jesus stuff is not for me. So he just left. Got to his car and drove off. He did not know that the convention was broadcast live on radio. So he got in the car, started off, hit the button, and guess what station he got to? The one that broadcast the convention. He was just about to turn it off and say that. He said a curse word. And then he heard someone speak in Hebrew. And now his hand went back. And the voice in Hebrew said, I saw you leave the convention. I saw you get in the car and drive off. You need to come back because you need to get saved. Spoken in perfect Hebrew by an American businessman that never learned Hebrew. The guy turned around, talked to some ushers, and said, I need to get saved. They got him up on the platform, they got him saved, and he told a story and so on. I can give you other examples, but this is just one example I want to do. So this businessman spoke Hebrew. He never probably spoke it again, spoke it one time. But he's available. Catch this now. You want to be available. You want to be available. If you are busy with something and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, stop what you're doing and say, yes, Holy Spirit, what can I do? What do you want me to do? That's how you can live. This flies in, you know, how we should do it. Well, I'm at work right now, man. Bam, 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 bam. Like, no. When the Holy Spirit speaks, stop and listen. He doesn't lead you astray. At the bottom of page 4 here, we got a scripture, which is from John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comfort will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit here. This is something that I don't understand. You don't understand either. If I'm up here preaching today, I cannot hold a conversation with somebody else. But the Holy Spirit, he can have millions of conversation at the same time with different people. He's everywhere. In this world, if you are in Asia, Africa, North America, Europe, the Holy Spirit is there. There's no place he's not. If you're on an airplane, he's there. If you're on a ship, he's there. And when you begin to pray to Jesus, and Jesus begins to respond back to you through the Holy Spirit, he will have an intelligent conversation with you and 2 million other people at the same time with their problems. We have not understood how powerful the Holy Spirit is. A demon can only be in one place at one time. Satan can only be in one place at one time. When Jesus was on earth, that's when he said, expedient I go, because Jesus could only be in one place at one time and only have one conversation. When he was in Galilee, he was not in Jerusalem. When he talked to this person, he could not talk to that person. But the Holy Spirit is totally different. He's God. And this is why it's so excited that you can talk to him anytime. He's available 24/7, all the time. The supernatural action on the day of Pentecost will continue to be repeated that Jesus returns a second time, because the Son of God is faithful and will not go back on his promise. In Hebrews 13:8, we read this: Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. God the Father doesn't change. We change. We cannot be reliable. I promise you, well, I've tried to beat it. I tried to take it to the store. But something might happen. My car can break down. I get sick. I cannot promise you I'll be 100%. I can say I'll do my best. But Jesus Christ, 100%, all the time. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28:18-20, we read this. Jesus stated he was going to oversee the church unto the second coming. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, teaching them all things whatsoever I commanded you. That means praying for the sick, cast the demons out, open the eyes of the blind, raise the dead if you have to do that. In promising to send the Holy Spirit, Jesus never indicated it was only for a certain time period. It is a far-reaching promise that the Holy Spirit would remain on earth until the second return of the God-man. In the late 1960s, we had the hippie movement in the United States. Some of you are younger, so you don't remember that. But you had hippies, about 100,000 of them. And they were from old Southern California, all the way up to Oregon, Washington, spread out to the East Coast. And they simply dropped out, and they took drugs, and they lived like animals. They had children. They got to the children, walked around in on the streets, and they were very unkempt. They didn't take a bath. The men were bearded. The women had long dresses, flowing dresses, and it looked like a lost generation, like a lost generation. And then God said, I'm not done yet. I don't know who prayed. I don't know who did what. But the Holy Spirit solemnly by himself came down and started convicting hippies. And they suddenly just started looking at the Bible. They got saved. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They started having Bible studies. They started to pray for the sick. They did all kind of things. And suddenly, not a few of them, but hundreds of thousands of them got saved in the communes all the way up to the East West Coast here. And God had a pastor, Chuck Smith. And Chuck Smith had not been very successful. He was in his 50s. Had a little church in Costa Mesa in Los Angeles area. And he had about 25 members, older people. And one day, when they opened the door for a Sunday morning, in came about 75 to 100 hippies. And the congregation looked and said, whoa, They smell. They don't have any shoes. Get them out of here. And church must realize God is moving. And out of that was born Calvary Chapel. That started out as a firebrand, and then as everything else died off. But Chuck Smith did not know that from about 50 to about 75, for 25 years, he was going to be, they had water baptisms by the thousands. And they started to do that again. I noticed that this year they had water baptisms of a couple of thousand people at the beaches of the East Coast and the West Coast. So of those hippies was Jackie and her husband Peter. They were hippies living up in Ukiah, California. And God called them to mission work. And they left and went to Europe. And they've been working for Christ since that time. The Holy Spirit wants to do things. All he needs is for us to pray and say, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. Becoming a follower of Jesus does not mean operating solely with your talents, abilities, and resources. The resources of heaven are available to every Christian as the Holy Spirit empowers believers with various spiritual gifts that are distributed sovereignly with intent to advance the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, we read this. Now there are diverses of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diverses of operation, but the same God, which works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique tools given to Christians to serve others, strengthen the church, and convey the power of God. Despite the best efforts of the kingdom of Satan to oppose God's agenda, they reflect the diversity of unity of the decentralized body of Christ when each member plays a vital role as they are led by the Holy Spirit. And I turn to the last page and it says, remember, it is not important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. So how do I summarize this message today? I summarize it by this way. Make a decision if you want to believe that the Holy Spirit is for today. Back in, I would say about 1965, and we had just come to Christ. And my wife was going to go to Sweden. She was sick, and I said to Sweden. And she had a sickness that was incurable, lung disease. And she was dying. Been to all the doctors, x-rayed, everything else. But she had promised her mother that I will come back after 2 years. We had left 2 years earlier. Her soul simply said, it's going to happen. So the soul simply started eating on her body. She flew over there, and she met the parents. They took her to a sanatorium, a hospital for lung disease. And they spent a day checking her out. And the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with this woman. She's totally healthy. God healed her. Once she had seen her mother, did she get her promise. Now, she was going to come back. And we had an open ticket. Actually, I got a one-way ticket. So I decided, well, I want my wife back. So after about 6 weeks, I said, that's enough of that. So I wrote a letter and said, I booked you for this flight. This was the day before. I had no internet, no nothing. Phone calls was too expensive. So I got a set to come in on a flight to Salt Lake City. And so she wrote me back. He said, I don't want to go on that flight. My sister is sewing a dress for me, and she's not ready. And I'm going to stay here until I get my dress. So she changed the ticket. She came in 1 week later. I'll never forget the night that she was supposed to have come in. I was at the store called Safeway, standing in the checkout counter. The clerk had a radio on playing in the background. And as she was checking me out, they stopped the broadcast and said, an airplane has just crashed in Salt Lake City. All personnel, firemen and so on, to the airport. And I stood there and I said, wow, that was a flight I never was going to be on. There were 80 people on the airplane. 50 died, and 30 walked away. I don't know how badly they were wounded. I bought the newspaper for that week. I got the clips of it and so on. But the Holy Spirit, I want you to listen now. You'd have got a hard heart. The Holy Spirit knew that that airplane was going to crash. He didn't tell me that airplane's going to crash. I didn't know. He didn't tell my wife to take that airplane because it's going to crash. He simply said, I don't want you to go now. He used the dress as an excuse. Because of that, she lived. I can give you a number of stories of my life when the Holy Spirit directed, changed things, and I realized I could have been killed. So what do you want to do now? The two things you can do. You can say, well, he was coughing a lot when he started, and then suddenly he got excited and prayed a little bit, and he got his voice back. That was nice. But I really want you to think. Are you walking 100% in the Holy Spirit? Are you taking advantage of the whole potential of the Holy Spirit? Are you simply saying this, I'm walking fully in the Holy Spirit? Or are you saying I'm walking partially? It's exciting. In these last days, we need people to walk in the Spirit. How did I get into this? I got into this through the Holy Spirit. He made me hungry. I said, I want more. I want more. I'm not happy. I want more. Get hungry and watch the Holy Ghost move in your life. Go through the scriptures again we did today, the outline, and then begin to say, I am going to walk 100% with the Holy Spirit. So you watch me, you're not saved. And you're saying, dude, kind of a crazy preacher. Yes, I'm crazy for Jesus. If you want to get saved, and you know that you need to get saved, here's how you do it. Recognize that you're a sinner. Confess that you believe that God is. Confess you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection you can be saved. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. And then say, Father God, forgive me my sins. Jesus, come into my life and save me. And Jesus will. That's as simple as it is. When we finish here, screen will change. Your 3-3 cross is coming up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles say, my friend. And he will take you through 10 minutes. And you will know that you're saved when he's done with you. You get saved today, contact us. I'd like to talk to you, pray with you, and rejoice with you. I pray that you will do that. So with that, I've done what I could. I kicked the demons out today. They are burning right now, those that were here. And so you were able to hear the rest of the story. And it's up to you. to make your decision what you want to do with your life. In Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us and helping us and guiding us. And Lord, I just pray for the people that actually do not have the Holy Spirit, that are Christians walking within the Holy Spirit, that their lives would change and that they would seek the Holy Spirit in their life. And Lord God, I just pray and thank you for what you're doing in my life and what you're doing in my wife's life and how you're helping us and guiding us to walk with the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, I just praise you and thank you, asking you to watch over all of us, keep us safe and secure in your arms, and keep us walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, A Study on the Holy Spirit, and was entitled, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to guide and empower believers in Christ. The fiery day of Pentecost kick-started the church on the first day with 3,000 converts. The Son of God never stated the Holy Ghost baptism was only for a certain time. Rather, it is a far-reaching promise about the third person of the Godhead remaining on earth until the second coming of Jesus. Christians don't have to operate with talents, abilities, and resources alone. Heaven is at our disposal as the Holy Spirit empowers us with various spiritual gifts to advance the kingdom of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique tools for personal help, to serve others, to strengthen the church, and to convey the power of God despite the best efforts of Satan to oppose his agenda. They reflect the diversity and unity of the decentralized body of Christ, where each member plays a vital role as they are led by the Holy Spirit. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2017. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.